This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's get a preview of The Guardian this week. Of course, you can catch the entire show Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio and hear readings from the pages of The Guardian newspaper. Producer Don Dickinson joins us now to tell you about a few of this week's articles. Hey, good morning, Don.
Hi, Dave. How are you? Sorry to hear about the air conditioning, Dave.
Well, you know, we live. It's summertime. There's always cold water. We can make it work no matter how we slice it. Hey, Don, let's jump right into business here and looking at the British business. The former Tory Chancellor Ken Clark has dismissed Boris Johnson's proposal for a £200 million royal yacht as a ridiculous item in these tight budget pandemic times. So, what sentiment is Clark expressing regarding the new royal yacht?
Well, you know, these kind of things always bring up a lot of emotion, right? Especially at times where things are tight, like in the pandemic. But basically, Lord Clark is saying that this vanity project is just ridiculous. And he said there's no free money despite public finances being very, very stretched by the pandemic. He said that this kind of an expense at this time, £200 million, is just not feasible. We have no money for this kind of thing, he says to BBC Radio's 4. He described the item as a complete waste of time and silly populist nonsense.
So, Don, beyond the people who would get to ride in the yacht, like the royal family and their guests, for example, are there others who think the new ship is a good idea?
Yeah, well, when you get past the initial, you know, shock of the £200 million and the health secretary, Matt Hancock, says that, you know, you have to think about this ship as an investment. It's an investment that you can get in from the rest of the world by showing the best of Britain in harbors all around the world. And the other thing he points out is it's not just a vanity project for the royal family. You know, it's used extensively for trade missions.
Okay, I can start to understand maybe a little bit on the trade mission side of things. That said, $200 million yacht, or £200 million yacht, I mean, that's a sizable yacht. You could park a yacht in a yacht that size. What's the final decision, and where's the money coming from to build it?
Well, it was initially, Downing Street was indicating that the royal yacht would be paid for out of the defense budget. Recently, Number 10 insisted that this is a ship that will promote U.S. trade extensively and drive investment back into the country. We so expect any costs to be absorbed by the Ministry of Defense. However, having said that, this morning there was an update to that, and it turns out that Downing Street has backed down from insisting that the Ministry of Defense foot the whole bill for the new Royal Yacht Britannia. And now they're indicating that they would, the Ministry of Defense would initially only pay for the procurement process and that the rest of the costs for the yacht would be allocated elsewhere. However, they have not exactly said where elsewhere is, Dave.
Ultimately, it's taxpayers' money. Like, let's be clear. Yeah. Ultimately, it's taxpayers' money. Ultimately, the taxpayers are paying for the yacht. And Don, although I can definitely understand this concept of like, yeah, it's part of trade missions. It's part of this. It's part of that. As a government that is a more conservative government, Boris Johnson's government, you could never pitch an austerity program ever again. You could never cut a single dollar from a school or a hospital or anything else in that country if you buy the royal family a £200 million yacht. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I'm one of these people who oftentimes get engaged in these sports stadiums conversations, right? Oh, should the government pay for sports stadiums? Absolutely not. It's a private business. They should build their own stupid sports stadiums. And in this situation, this is even more preposterous. Listen, I'm willing to give the royal family a nice boat, not a £200 million boat.
you want them to have a, like a 30-foot grue or something, right?
Yeah, they can have themselves a nice simple 40-footer, you know. They can have a couple butlers on board and do their thing, but yeah, to me, there's no way you can ever win the public perception battle on this one. There's no way you can ever win the public perception
battle. No, that's true, Dave. The optics are pretty bad in times like these, you know. Pandemic times, I don't think anybody should be spending anything except on healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Dawn, thank you for getting my blood going today. That's good. I like that. It's circulating really well. And now we get to relax in the garden, because UK garden designers are having to turn away clients after working from home has led to a huge demand for outdoor living spaces. So, Dawn, what kind of level are we talking? What level of demand are we talking about here?
Well, they're basically saying it's unprecedented. They've never seen anything like it. Garden designers in the UK are now expressing, according to the Society of Garden Designers and also according to the Pro Landscaper magazine, this is just phenomenal stuff. It's they have 166% increase in month-on-month inquiries. They're just being run off their feet, to be honest. And a lot of these particular people that are quoted in the article, designers, are saying that they're actually have to turn away business, which is just unprecedented. Mm.
Dawn, how has the pandemic in particular affected the way that Brits are seeing their gardens?
Well, it's what everybody else is experiencing around the world. The reason garden designers are agreeing is the lockdown and working from home has really affected everybody's psyche, you know, and they really want that kind of, as you said in the beginning, peaceful atmosphere. They want to be able to, you know, get away from the, you know, 14 Zoom meetings that they've had during their day.
Yes.
And sit out in the garden and catch 10 minutes with a cup of coffee or something like that. It's important, obviously, to relax. And now, with everybody working at home, it's even more important.
Absolutely. What about the housing boom? We know there's been this huge flee to the suburbs in places like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. How has the housing boom impacted the demand for garden spending?
Well, in Britain, as in the rest of the world, but particularly in Britain and also here, as we know, in Canada, increases have been substantial in real estate, right? And so thanks to this recent boom in housing, suburban homeowners are finding it's actually more worthwhile to spend their spare cash on their garden than it is to kind of make that huge leap into a new home. So they've just made that decision. They've said, no, we're staying put, but we're gonna actually spend some cash on where we're living now. So the designers that the Guardian spoke to said that a lot of trends are disappearing, like decking and artificial grass are falling out of fashion, and the popularity of natural ponds and plants that encourage biodiversity and wildlife are actually increasing.
So, Dawn, I know you've got a little bit of a green thumb. You've tasked myself and Mike Ross with keeping the plant alive in the AMI audio neck of the woods in the office, which we're doing a very good job of, by the way. I gave it a little bit of water today. I gave the turtle a little bit of water this morning. But I'm curious, as someone who does enjoy the garden, what is your go-to? What is the absolute must? If Dawn Dickinson was going to tell someone it's time to start designing a garden, what's the first thing somebody should do?
Well, one thing that I've learned very much so is also because I volunteer at another garden where my mother used to live, because the residents there are getting elderly and they can't do the hard work of gardening. So I was there yesterday, actually, in the evening after it cooled down a bit, and doing quite a bit of gardening, about 3 hours worth.
Oh, wow.
And the one thing I noticed is that people had put in plants that were not appropriate for the soil type. And this is where garden designers really come in. Like, everybody thinks garden designers, I can't afford that.
You take some dirt, you put some seeds in the dirt,
exactly.
You give it some water, and it grows.
Yeah, and they think of it as frivolous, but in actual fact, they're not, because they can really advise you on types of plants and soil. Like a lot of the plants that were placed in this garden were not suitable for the type of soil that is there, and they've died off. And, you know, they spent a great deal of money purchasing those plants at the beginning of the season, and I thought, you know, that's such a shame that they didn't take, you know, just a little bit extra effort, right?
Yeah.
So,
I like that, the holistic approach to gardening. You see, Dawn, I knew you'd have some good advice for the aspirational gardeners out there. Dawn, always a blast chatting with you. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the summertime season here in the GTA.
Okay, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. Next Thursday's Canada Day. So yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks. That's
okay.
All right. Bye, Dawn. That's Dawn Dickinson, producer of The Guardian This Week, which of course you can hear Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio. Mike Ross is our news director, but he's also here for the big business story of the day. Mike, Google, increasing investments in Canadian media.
Yeah, and this is where I put my skeptic's hat on just a little bit, because I wonder about a big tech company, quote unquote, investing in media and journalism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you've got Google Canada partnering with 8 publishers, including The Globe and Mail, Black Press Media, Glacier Media, Metro Media, Nova Scotia Saltwire Network, the Winnipeg Free Press, 2 other Ontario publishers, Narcity and Village Media. The publishers collectively that are involved in this deal own more than 70 national and regional media platforms. Post Media and Torstar not participating in this deal. But it's all part of Google's and Alphabet, their parent company's, $1 billion pledge to media companies across North America. They're calling it Google News Showcase, that should be up and running here in Canada in the fall. And basically, they're paying news organizations for their content. They're also saying that they are going to put marketing behind these publishing companies and these websites, and basically in an effort to compete with Apple Inc., Apple iPhones, Apple News Platform. And they say that part of their goal is to train about 5,000 journalists and journalism students over the next 3 years in Canada.
Wow.
So they're launching a journalism startup boot camp for entrepreneurs beginning this fall. The skeptic in me says, Dave.
Journalism boot camp, okay.
Yeah, well, the skeptic in me, Dave, says that, well, that's called journalism school.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to invest in journalism in this country, then don't do it through a Google company. Do it through long-established journalism schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's the little bit of editorializing or skepticism I'm going to throw at this story. But it is a sizable investment. And one of the big things that they say they want to try and do is help a lot of small regional companies, media companies, websites, sort of shift from the traditional, you know, ink-stained fingers and you know, picking up that newspaper in the box at the corner or at the store, to the digital world that we're becoming. And a lot of companies haven't had the funding in order to do that, or the experience. And Google says they can help.
And of course, reach is a part of it too, right? That when they say they're investing in terms of promotion, that means in the algorithm, inside the Google News algorithm, it means your stuff's going to pop up a little bit more frequently, which is, you know, it creates a lot of questions, but it is an investment nonetheless. So Mike, thank you for bringing that to
You're
us.
You're welcome, Dave.
That's Mike Ross with the big business story of the day. Coming up next, food and drink columnist Jenny Bovard will chat about some must-have cocktails and icy beverages you can enjoy this hot summer. You know what? That topic is so good, I might have to change my shirt. I might have to put on a Hawaiian shirt to get into the mood for that Jenny Bovard segment. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.